Hello and welcome to another news episode of BFRR, our Bitcoin, Fiat and Rock and Roll podcast that explores the intersection of traditional finance, digital assets and digital currencies and obviously helps you to understand how digital money and digital assets will evolve in the future. And as stated, this is again a news episode. Another month has come to an end. September 2025 is done. And boy, oh boy, what was it a month again? Stefan, I'm glad that you joined me today again for discussing the recent updates. Hi.
Hi, Manu. Yeah, we had really some stress to summarize everything that happened. Actually, we just stripped out our program 5 minutes ago because it was simply too much. Crazy month.
Yeah, and actually also only so recently, right? So yesterday evening when I sat back and had another look, there was again so many new projects that were announced. On the infrastructure layer, on the stablecoin layer, obviously the stablecoin mania continues. So yeah, today we brought hopefully the most important news in the infrastructure space because the new infrastructure play is continuing with new layer ones from different initiatives. We're going to discuss this. And there's plenty of stablecoin news, obviously, that continues, where many projects have been launched, where many consortiums have been founded, and collaborations have been announced. But then there's also interesting news in the digital asset space, and tokenized deposits have also not been stopping. So lots to discuss. Let's dive already in, I would say.
Yeah, let's do it.
Also, with a quick market update, as usual, in the beginning, and I'm going to focus today again on the TradFi adoption, also on the two biggest cryptocurrencies, which is Bitcoin and Ether. Without going too deep into price developments, we want to focus on the market cap that has continued to rise again. So September, the total market cap was $4.11 trillion, and it also reached a new all-time high of the interim $4.7 trillion. So the overall crypto market cap is continuing to rise. And yeah, that obviously also leads to additional ETF inflows in Bitcoin and Ethereum or Ether ETFs. So in that time period of the September, the first Fed rate cut happened also in 2025, which led to additional inflows into crypto ETFs of $1.9 billion in just 1 week alone, in the week after the Fed's rate cutoff. I think that was quite notable and has led to some market headlines. The previous week, there was $3.3 billion in gains recorded as well in those crypto ETFs. And it's really a continuous week of inflows of gains into the sector, where Bitcoin, obviously, Bitcoin ETFs received the biggest inflows, but also Ethereum ETFs. And the crypto ETF industry has also received a quite significant and interesting update because the SEC has voted on Wednesday to approve the proposed rule changes by three national securities exchanges. They were proposed in July for much easier listing standards, where then now, not on a case-by-case basis, the SEC has to go through each and every application that took more than 200 days usually to decide over this application. But now we have, or the US has, very generic listing standards, which makes it much easier to list crypto spot ETFs. And the market estimates that the days will be cut down from 200, more than 200, to only like 75 on average. And that is likely to lead to much more adoption of crypto ETFs and many more offerings as well for other cryptocurrencies, right? So continued moves in the crypto adoption and TradFi, we see lots of inflows and likely also additional ETFs in the next months and years to come. That's it for the market update. Without going too deep into the price updates. Stefan, the first bucket that we really wanted to double down and double click is all the infrastructure news.
Yes.
You looked into it.
Yeah,
help us to structure and get an understanding what has happened.
And before we go into structuring, I would like to just start with one prominent example, and that's the launch of the Plasma chain launched by Tether. Actually, I was not so much aware of that happening. I think if you were in the Binance space or in special Discords or Telegrams, this must have been bigger news than I was aware of. But throughout September, the whole momentum built up. And we could record on Friday, but it was launched yesterday on Thursday with a beta mainnet launch. And the crazy thing is that the Plasma chain has 2 billion of assets under total value locked at the start. I think that's an absolute record. I think more than 100 DeFi projects claim to support it from day one. So some of the DEX aggregators like Matcha, for example, announced yesterday in the evening that you can trade now on Plasma. And maybe it's interesting to understand what's going on here. So this new chain is driven by Framework Ventures, Founders Fund by Peter Thiel, Bitfinex and Tether, or Tether's Paolo Arduino, the CEO. So very much close guys, I would say. So Bitfinex is also tightly linked to Tether or part of the Tether family. So very much driven by more or less one entity plus investors, but still with the huge support of the broader community. It's built EVM compatible. So Ethereum is here used to be compatible so that all this traction can be possible on a technological level, but it's anchored into Bitcoin. So they from time to time take snapshots and link it on the Bitcoin chain. They also announce the native Bitcoin bridge. So somehow they want to tap into native, not wrapped Bitcoin as another reserve currency. So try to establish best of both worlds. I think with Rootstock and other projects, this was tried before, but now this is the 2025 version of bringing Bitcoin and Ethereum together. So what's interesting, it's set up as a payment chain. So fast finality, they claim less than 1 second. They have their own token, XPL, and that's what drives all the buzz, actually, that people who joined very early could make a little fortune. There are interesting news on Twitter that I saw yesterday that people could get very rich if you are very, very early, but it was very hard to be very early, so you needed to be very close to the team to get in there. What else can we say? It's interesting that it's absolutely focused on emerging markets. And that's all the news about Tether. I think that's very different for Tether than for other blockchains. They don't care too much about regulatory aspects in the first place, at least it seems, as from the outside. I don't want to call out here anyone, but the focus on emerging markets, heading for Africa, South America. They named Turkey very explicit as a target market for USDT. Would be very interesting what the Turkish government has to say in their regard. So yeah, that's very interesting. And when you listen to Tether, they are very close to the ground. They talk to, at least they claim to talk to many local people. What's their demand? What do they actually need? It's a lot about banking the unbanked, actually. So that's very interesting. And if you read between the lines and watch stablecoin traffic, then a lot is happening on Tron blockchain, which is not the most decentralized option, but used due to small fees. And that's one of their claims that they say they will actually attack the whole stablecoin volume of Tron and draw it over to Plasma. Yeah? So maybe not the direct competitor to what Stripe and others are doing, where we can go in deeper soon. But I think it's quite a unique approach and absolutely worth the watch. If we dive up, Manuel, I think it's quite interesting that all these DeFi projects join in, get incentivized with tokens for free again. Yeah, so we now create in quotes new money for them, and I think it's certainly also competition to the established ecosystems like Ethereum. So it's so easy to copy just all the work of that infrastructure, take over all the participant on top. Launched something with 2 billion overnight. It was obviously prepared for a longer time, but somehow it also might hurt the old ecosystem when some of the money flows out. So what's your take on that move?
I mean, it all fits into the overall story that we will talk about in the next minutes or in the next hour with regards to new additional infrastructure from stablecoin firms, right? So for example, Circle also has their Arc blockchain. They really want to foster that. And Tether, I think, have stepped up their game now tremendously. Also this week, there were so many announcements, right? They want to raise 20 billion on a 500 billion valuation. I mean, imagine that. It's gigantic, right? They have a lot of money. They are still the behemoth of stablecoin transactions. Most, by far, most volume is there. As you say, on Tron, these are the payments use cases. I think Tron is also not that cheap anymore. when you compare it to other chains. And there's a strong push into this new momentum that we see everywhere, right? Where everybody is talking about the payments use case in stablecoin, which at the moment is predominantly on Tether. So I think this move fits perfectly into her story to say, we want to bring US dollar payments to the world, which ultimately comes with dollarization, which is a predominant use case in this stablecoin payments area, right? Zero fee infrastructure, which obviously is a big benefit for payments use case, right?
And so for users, yeah, so that's one of the open questions. So who pays the transaction fee? So for users, it's zero fee, gas denominated in USDT. Yeah, so we knew similar steps or a similar direction in the other payment chains. So I think they are very much aligned on being fast, being cheap, etc. Yeah, so that's a common denominator, and being EVM compatible without using ETH, the asset, as a security anymore.
Yeah, and bringing all the DeFi players together, where Tether sometimes is used, but where USDC also has a big stake in DeFi, right? It's quite interesting. And I think when it comes to Tether, also the interesting news, and we can already maybe talk about it, right, is that they also announced that they're going to issue this USAT, which is a genius regulated US dollar stablecoin aiming at domestic US dollar use. But that does not mean that USDT is dead at all, right?
Absolutely.
It sounds like USDT is supposed to be used outside of US and basically dollarize the world, right? And USAT could then be the regulated domestic use case, where actually also I think it was in Bankless, Paolo Arduino in this podcast, Bankless has announced or has talked about some months ago that he actually does not see any domestic use of stablecoins in the US, but rather really focuses on this outside use, right? On this cross-border use outside of the US, where USDT is, I mean, prevalent.
Yeah, what I find interesting that you see this approach that you have both ends of the story. So Athena is another player who has one very crazy, more algorithmic stablecoin that's hugely successful in the DeFi sector and in the emerging markets. And then they create another stablecoin that's very much aligned with Genius Act and Genius and Mika, or try to become compliant in that regard. So it's an interesting thing to see that the most successful projects currently are not the regulated aspects, or the interesting business doesn't come from the regulated business. It still comes from a bit of the Wild West. As long as it works, all nice, but we can easily imagine that something might go wrong and regulatory aspects might prove to be quite important actually in the end. But for now, it's about a quick big buck that you can make. And those companies that somehow dance on the dance floor in a very interesting way, that on the one hand side they please the regulators with one version of their business, and they go for the money with another one. That's I think the pattern that I see evolving for the most successful players by now. If you really just the Circle game, which was a great going public event earlier this year, let's see how successful the Circle game is over time, and will be very, very interesting to watch which approach is more successful. So the very serious one, very regulated one, or the ones who try to find an interesting in between the worlds move. Yeah.
And when I think about to structure what is happening also now with this new Tether-backed infrastructure, right? At least in my head, I have a structure in the sense that there is now this emerging Circle universe, right? Where there's also been announcements of collaborations. So Circle is partnering, for example, with Fireblocks now on their new Fireblocks network, right? Google, I think, also plays a role here with their new platform. Then we have Tether now with the new infrastructure that came in, where lots of DeFi players plan to adopt or want to adopt or have already adopted it. Then there is this new player, which is Stripe, which after the Bridge acquisition are now also doubling down on the stablecoin ecosystem build. They are partnering apparently with M0 now to bring out stablecoins that are rather maybe in the future also compatible with their Tempo blockchain, which was also an announcement, right? And then you have TradFi coming into play again, which is more focused on, you know, bringing R3 infrastructure, for example, on Solana or also the Canton area. So there's a couple of buckets that are now emerging also where stablecoins bring new infrastructures or stablecoin firms are tied to new infrastructures. And you have a couple of areas where new consortiums are formed, right? I think that is quite interesting, where this infrastructure layer also works very, very seamlessly together with the developments on the stablecoin side.
Actually, in my head, just to think, I currently have three main buckets in my head when we talk about the fintech use cases of this technology. So I see a stablecoin as a very important ingredient as money on-chain. Then I see several kinds of DeFi protocols that bring that stablecoin into use. For example, let's say using borrowing, lending against your Bitcoin with a stablecoin. So you need a stablecoin in that DeFi use case. And then you see the whole movement of fintech on top. Yeah. So Robinhood and all the others adopting that and really bringing the buzz. And now, and to add one news here. So Tether also announced Plasma One, which is a neobank in that ecosystem. So they go full stack. They have the USDT as a basis. They brought in all the DeFi ecosystem from Ethereum because they are compatible. So no change there. Yeah, what could go wrong? And then they even pack a neobank on top to really go the last mile, which is, yeah, this is actually competing with everyone out there. So they have a competitive advantage with the stablecoin as the atomic thing. Then everybody is friendly to them because they can earn a quick buck and port their DeFi systems on top of their blockchain. And then they also provide the UX and the UI layer where the regulators will have a close look, I guess, how that is to be judged. But you see, it's about winning the clients where they are. And obviously, you need the building blocks and you have a strong advantage if they are your own. But that will be very interesting to see play out. What's the ecosystem thing in there? Have they enough incentive mechanisms to keep everybody happy? Or will it be a great news now in September, October, November and fade away again? I think probability is quite low that this will fade away soon. I think people will think twice. After the first buzz, they will think, oh my God, are we dependent on these guys actually if we go too deep down that road? But yeah. Interesting, very interesting times.
Yeah, absolutely. So next to those buckets that we now classified, I think there's also Stellar now.
Yes.
coming back a bit, right?
It's quite a strong RWA play. So Stellar had a very different goal, I guess. When you watch who they work with, they really try to be there for the institutions. So quite the opposite approach of what we just talked about. So they just had a huge event in Brazil, I guess. So many announcements last week. So Mercado Bitcoin announced a 200 million issuance of real world assets in Latin America. What's close again is, okay, South America, yeah, hosting the main global event in South America is also a sign. Yeah, we saw announcement of Archax and 21X supporting Stellar, which is quite astonishing that Stellar said, okay, we imagine 21X is live on Polygon and now on Stellar, not on Ethereum or Solana might come. Yeah, but that's an interesting thing that Stellar is in there. We see they are close to stablecoins because they also need the stablecoins. UCC is on Stellar for a long time. Now they also announced partnerships with Paxos and PaperUSD. Also, they reached out to Ondo and Centrifuge, one of the more interesting players for tokenizing real world assets. And Red Swan for real estate. So you see a very, very regulated, institutional focused approach by Stellar.
And honestly, I didn't really have Stellar on the radar over the last years anymore.
They were nearly gone from the public, in my perspective, for the last 5 years or so. They were quite big in 2018, 19, very cheap transaction fees, fast. I think was everybody's darling in that days. And then with the NFT boom,
faded. Yeah.
They faded away and now they come back with deep pockets. So it's not, I think they are not as deep as Ripple, but still quite a high valuation. So a powerful player and that matters for the long run.
Additional news to that, we can now combine the different news segments, right? It's also MoneyGram, the big remittance company. They also built a new stablecoin-based solution for cross-border finance on Stellar, actually. So in Colombia, they will now start this solution, which ultimately can store US dollar-backed stablecoins, but also regular US dollars, and to allow more efficient remittances. Starting in Colombia, interestingly, again, South America, as we discussed, right? But they also want to extend then to additional markets. Quite interesting that also here, Stella is used. And then second, I mean, MoneyGram is a big remittance company that they also now double down on stablecoins.
I would say they bend down under the pressure of stablecoins. Huh? Let's put it like that. Because we always thought, okay, these guys will have big problems and lose market share if they don't move. I think Western Union is the other big one where it's interesting to watch how they embrace stablecoins and how much of the profit they can keep for themselves or need to get cheaper for their services. So I think that's very interesting to watch.
So that's the new Stella bucket, right? But then, I mean, there's the new emerging Bridge bucket. I think we can now also maybe state in these buckets, right? And then combine the different news. I mean, we've already talked about it. Temple has been announced, right? Significant backing as well. Quite interesting. Anthropic, so the AI player. Paradigm is the major partner here. This is the crypto VC that's ultimately that invested in many of the different CeFi and DeFi projects. DoorDash, Lead Bank, Mercury, Nubank, OpenAI is also part of it. Revolut, Shopify, Standard Chartered, Visa, Deutsche Bank as well. So quite a number of backers or advisors. I can say also Deutsche Bank here is mentioned as an advisor, right? So helping to understand how payments use cases can actually work and what is required. Similar to what we've discussed on the Tether Plasma blockchain, right? Really focused on stablecoin usage, really focused on payments use case. Or usage similar to Arc as well of Circle, really this focus on new payments infrastructure. And they're building this ecosystem now as well with M0 and have launched also this MetaMask stablecoin, right? So there's again this bucket emerging, and I think they have a couple of projects in the pipeline as well where this new segment comes into play. New infrastructure, payments use cases, and with the Bridge acquisition, with the M0 partnership, and also with Privy, they now form a complete ecosystem around bringing out new stablecoins that might emerge in this ecosystem. Yeah, so.
And I need to mention something here with MetaMask USD. There is an interesting stablecoin play because they own the UX. So before you touch any financial app, you usually log into MetaMask if you're not logged in, and then you buy something maybe and you want to make it simple. You want someone to buy with dollar, and MetaMask can simulate that instantly switching fiat to their own stable coin. And this shows that application specific use cases or environment specific use cases for stable coins that might be switched into USDC or other stuff in the next step, but that can obviously create traction. And where we saw that play out, what we didn't have in the script, is Hyperliquid. Yeah? So Hyperliquid said, okay, yeah, we are the strongest prep market here in the field. We need our own stablecoin, USDH. Please provide your proposals. I think all the big ones went in, and they took their own little company. It seemed to be a bit like an insider deal that they offered the proposal quite soon after the call for proposals went out and won the race. But if you wanted to win that, you needed to go give all the incentives or the profits away to the Hyperliquid ecosystem. So even if you come with USDC or USDT and want to go in there, you need to somehow, or we can imagine that you need to switch to their local stablecoin if you want to interact in that ecosystem. And yeah, this shows that the race is not over. I think we have some big players that the closer you are to the client, the better it is, because if they have your, they are used to Tether, they trust Tether, that's cool. But the deeper you get into inside the stacks, they might have cool ideas how to capture more profits for themselves. And this whole swappability of stablecoins, that you can exchange them easily one into the other, that's a feature that is also a big problem for business cases, I guess, that you can't be sure everything might happen overnight, that someone new is on the field and takes away profits from you. So it will be a race to the bottom, I guess. Very, very interesting, highly competitive, interesting for product managers, I guess.
Yeah, and building these new clusters, right? I mean, the MetaMask stablecoin is not directly tied to the Tempo blockchain from Stripe. So this is still rather early, I would say. The announcement came out only a couple of weeks back. So I don't think it is there yet, but the plans are there to build this closed ecosystem that we are now seeing around Tether and also around Circle with their own blockchain with these stablecoin use cases. MetaMask is rather focusing now as well on this layer 2 Linea that was bootstrapped by Consensys, which is a different approach, right? It's not a layer 1, so but rather...
It's a layer 2.
Layer 2, fully EVM compatible behind Ethereum ultimately, where there's also some traction in this Linea DeFi ecosystem, where actually the predominant share of the stablecoin has been issued. It was issued on Ethereum and in Linea, but predominantly on Linea. And yeah, as you say, I mean, it's directly issued through the self-custodial wallet, which is the most used wallet, I would say, for crypto transactions. So they have the distribution, they have the end-user access. And there's been quite some significant traction also already in the first weeks, where only in the first week, 65 million have been minted. So relatively quickly uptake. Let's see where it goes. But nevertheless, I mean, even though they're issuing not on Tempo, which is the Stripe blockchain, it's using Stripe technology. And Stripe aims to really go into this market, right? To allow very efficient stablecoin issuance. Now, in cooperation with M0, which is also this infrastructure, stablecoin infrastructure layer company that helps to issue stablecoins much more easily. I expect over the next weeks a variety of projects emerging with the combination of those two players to issue additional stablecoins. Let's see on which blockchains, right? Because again, the infrastructure play is so important at the moment again. No?
And you know, again here, so Consensys is behind MetaMask and Linea. So it's their blockchain. So you see the same patterns emerge here. Yeah, you need to keep the traffic, the total value locked, the profits close to your heart, and claiming to be very decentralized. Yeah, so that's interesting. So it's companies. In the end, we currently see companies fighting each other. It's not so much the project wars from the past. It's we're now going mainstream. Obviously.
Yeah, corporate chains, right? I mean, we've talked about it last episode already. The Arc blockchain, which is the open layer one blockchain of Circle. We're going to come back to that in a minute because we've already talked about it because there was some interesting stablecoin news on this as well. But maybe wrapping up at least the bucket in our head, right? The infrastructure layer before we then double click on other stablecoin news. There's also the move of TradFi, right? Where we see R3 also moving into Solana. I mean, Solana is now partnering with R3 or maybe even invested in R3. And now R3 is all in on Solana, so really trying to bring Solana into TradFi. And then there's news on Canton. I don't know. Do you want to maybe summarize again a bit where we stand there? Yeah?
Okay, yeah. For Canton, there were announcements that HSBC and BNP Paribas join the Canton Foundation for tokenization liquidity. And the other big news was that Chainlink becomes a strategic partner and a super validator. So in Canton, there are two different kinds of validators, and the super validators are very important. And bringing a behemoth of the modern world with Chainlink in there is a move, I guess. So that's quite cool. So we see a lot of news and traction on Canton Network recently.
That's quite interesting because it's really focused on this TradFi use case, right? So they want to become the blockchain of TradFi with strong privacy features. And quite some big names have now double-clicked on Canton and doubled down on Canton with adoption. I think DTCC is one of them. Broadridge is one of them. And BNP Paribas is fully integrated. HSBC is there. So yeah, that also emerges even further, which is a new approach, right? It's not coming from the crypto side, trying to go TradFi, but rather TradFi going to, I wouldn't say crypto, but rather this public infrastructure, right? It's a public permissioned infrastructure, similar to actually many of the layer ones that we've already discussed, right? So Tempo and Circle's Arc, I think, in the beginning at least, is also a permissioned infrastructure. And here, yeah, rather from the TradFi players, but with a push into public. Yeah.
What's interesting to mention here is that we talk about not the classical EVM copycat, but the unique thing about Canton is that they have this DAML programming language from Digital Asset, which for me as a computer scientist, if you look into that, that's really something different than Solidity, because they completely separate out the business logic from the technical details. So if you look at it from a technical perspective, it's a very clean approach, actually. I like it. But it's not compatible out of the box. So you need to recreate some of the building blocks. And that's always dangerous, you know. We all still program JavaScript, which is obviously the worst programming language in the world, but it's still the world standard. And yeah, so it makes sense to stay skeptical how successful this will be in the end. But at least currently they have strong momentum, and I would really closely watch what's happening in the Cato network.
Yeah, and then last but not least, I mean, we've touched it already, R3 partners with Solana, and I didn't really understand, to be honest, what's now the next steps, because they say they position themselves as the biggest RWA chain at the moment, R3, with all the projects in TradFi that are using R3, and they want to now bring this liquidity and these assets to the Solana ecosystem, where obviously the big argument, or the main argument, is the very, very fast settling blockchain with below 1 second finality. But yeah, I don't yet fully understand how that will work, how R3 assets were issued on R3, because it's a very, very different setup, right? How R3 Corda works with their notary setup and a very closed loop system, where privacy obviously is the main feature as well. For TradFi adoption since years, but how you want to bring this liquidity and these assets now on Solana. But definitely also an area where, from the TradFi space, public blockchain adoption is continuing to emerge.
Yeah, we shouldn't underestimate Solana. I think they make, so you see so many things going on currently. Interesting to watch, but let's see what we will talk about in 4 weeks.
Absolutely, yeah. Now then, I mean, we've already combined the infrastructure and the stablecoin piece, especially in our heads, with the different buckets that we are that we see emerging, right? I already touched a couple of projects. MetaMask, we talked about MoneyGram on Stellar. I briefly touched Fireblocks, and I want to come back to this. This is also quite interesting, because there were some news. I mean, Fireblocks is a big player, also like a behemoth in the crypto ecosystem, right? It's an enterprise platform for digital asset custody, but also settlement, trading operations, and stablecoin payments. And they have now really announced two things. First of all, an extension of the already existing Fireblocks network with a strong focus on stablecoins. So they call it also the Stablecoin Payments Network, where also already 40 companies have joined the network, right? So, for example, Bridge, B2C2, Circle, and this is, I think, very important. There's a close cooperation with Circle. So it's part of the Circle ecosystem, right, that we already discussed. Conduit, which is an on and off-ramping platform as well. Signum Bank, Yellow Card, another on and off-ramping player in Africa. Zero Hash, Zodia Markets, one of the bigger names that are known of the 40 companies that have already joined the network. And it's really about launching this network to let crypto and financial firms more easily moving stablecoins between one another, right? And this is actually also the backbone of this existing Fireblocks network, where you can transfer crypto in the Fireblocks network very, very seamlessly. They have apparently already processed 212 billion stablecoin volume in July only. And they've really doubled down also on the similarity to the Circle's payment network, where they also announced another cooperation, right? So this was one of the news.
And maybe, Manu, I need to chime in here, because I was at the Fireblocks event in Barcelona later this month, and I can only confirm the closeness to Circle. So Jeremy Allaire, Circle CEO, had a live appearance for about an hour. So they created a channel directly linked to his headquarters. And you could literally feel the closeness of these two companies. So I guess I interpreted that the Fireblocks thing is kind of a layer above the Circle network somehow, being open to other payment networks. So try to be maybe an aggregating layer on top. But Circle is obviously a very important partner for Fireblocks in this regard.
Yeah, and the second news was Also this strategic cooperation, right, where they first of all want to have full interoperability with the Circle payment network. They again compared it to the Circle payment network. Makes sense that they now want to be basically the overarching network that maybe combines the emerging Circle payment network with all the other players that are using Fireblocks. They have a full integration into this new Arc layer one blockchain from Circle as well, which we already talked about, and also into the new Circle Gateway products. That is basically this cross-chain primitive that allows a unified USDC balance if you hold USDC on different chains for instant cross-chain liquidity across supported chains. Second news, very, very close cooperation with Circle here, right?
Yeah, and maybe one interesting thing to watch is now if someone like Fireblocks, who is much more focused on the institutional side, will also have a look at Plasma and integrate that, or if that's actually competitively complicated because of that closeness to Circle. So that will be the interesting move. So who actually might set something on top of all the layer ones we just talked about and just let you pay wherever you are with your funds. So that might be a very interesting business.
So you mean interoperability with the Circle payment network, but then also directly to Plasma, which is the Tether bubble,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. You don't care. Yeah, your merchant is on Plasma, but or you are on Plasma in Africa, and your merchant is more on the regulated side of things and tapping into Fireblocks and the Circle kind of thing, and you enable payment somehow. I don't want to go into technical details here, but that might be a very interesting approach where you might even combine, or the interesting thing will be, do you need KYC in that case? Do you need to know who is paying on that Plasma chain? So many, many interesting questions arise, but I think something like that will be demanded sooner than later, I guess.
Yeah. Interesting, yeah. I mean, the other news, and we've already touched it in the Tether. Now we are back at Tether, right, with Plasma. Tether also announced this new US dollar focused, sorry, US focused, US domestic focused stablecoin, USAT. Genius bill compliant. Anchorage Digital, the bank of Anchorage Digital, will ultimately issue it. They have a national trust bank charter. So that's quite interesting. They partner with a player that has a bank charter already, not only a Genius bill license to issue stablecoins, but directly a bank charter. It's controlled, or it's regulated by the OCC, so the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. And Anchorage will also be one of the core shareholders, apparently, who's going to custody the funds. It's Cantor Fitzgerald, which is already the custodian of USDT, right? It's also going to be the primary dealer, so they stick to partners from the past or from the existing project. And they really want to tackle now this emerging USDC or Circle ecosystem also with this new stablecoin on the domestic use. Quite interestingly, the CEO, Paolo Arduino, he said, we were under severe pressure from competitors that want to create a monopolistic environment in the United States. Quite interesting, directly confronting, I would say, Circle, which really focused on US usage, right? Whereas, as we already discussed, USDT, Tether is predominantly focused on non-US usage, so bringing the US dollars to the world. And now here, USAT, new strategy also for domestic use in the US. Then another big news in the stablecoin area was and basically, again, combining infrastructure with a new angle is Google, right? So Google, they've announced an agent-to-agent protocol, and this is not only focused on stablecoins. However, quite interestingly, also another consortium here, because they are tapping into Coinbase's HTTX402 protocol. And we've already discussed it. I remember the news episode that we recorded months back, Stefan, where you were also absolutely fascinated by this, right? And Google has announced a huge list of partners that are part of this protocol that they want to announce. So many payment firms, PSPs, Adyen, American Express, MasterCard, PayPal, Revolut, but then again also crypto players, right? Coinbase is there, quite interestingly, and international as well. WorldPay is also part of the end realm, right? But then also ServiceNow, Etsy, so even spanning into the merchant side. To allow AI payments, right? In the future, where AI agents can then autonomously initiate transactions, fully authorized, fully authenticity enabled transactions from AI agents that obviously need to be able to do payments. This is what this agents payments protocol is focusing on, and tapping into stablecoins as well, also with this new standard from Coinbase.
Yeah, it's very cool. And it's the future. So we think a lot about that, how to combine blockchain with AI agents, actually. I think that's if stablecoins are a killer use case, then AI agents paying with stablecoins is another one, maybe even bigger. And I think it makes a lot of sense that you put some control technology like blockchain on top of something that's out of the box like AI agents. Yeah.
Yeah, and the number of organizations, I mean, it's been 60 organizations, and we're going to put also the link to the announcement in the show notes. Make sure you look at it, have a look at it, because the backing and the statements and the support of the ecosystem is quite interesting, because they've asked lots of these companies to give a short statement why this is important. I mean, they really want to enable this new AI / payments ecosystem, let's say. Well, I think stablecoins have also a quite interesting value proposition, because they don't have to go through the existing payment infrastructure with banks, which are not on the most modern tech stack, right? And the complex settlement process of account-based money in bank deposits and then settling through central bank payment systems. This is complex, right? Of course, you can use a card at the background and then abstract away from this, right? Where clearly MasterCard and Visa will chime in their solutions for this, Google transfers as well. But lots of the focus is here also on stablecoins, because it is so easy also for eventually agents holding directly wallets with stablecoin balances, and therefore can engage in holdings of stablecoins and then also in transactions in stablecoins. I think in this news when X402 was announced, Stefan, we also talked about these AI agent payments using stablecoins, and AI bots now also holding stablecoin balances and on their own authorizing payments, which was not that secure, but this is exactly where Google wants to now allow a more efficient and more secure way to instruct authorized payments.
Yeah, and we will come back to that in my knowledge bite at the end, because there's even something on top now.
And yeah, on top of that, Cloudflare, which is a behemoth in the internet infrastructure industry, ultimately, right? They provide millions of internet properties. They serve tens of millions per HTTP request per second on average. And they announced also now the issuance of a stablecoin, NetDollar, they call it. Net is the short abbreviation also for the stock of Cloudflare. A new US dollar-backed stablecoin that is also now really focused on agentic web. And they also want to use this X402 standard of Coinbase. And it's really a massive player in this ecosystem. I mean, the press release sounded very early stage, to be honest, but they operate in 330 plus cities across over 125 countries. It's a massive infrastructure player, which is embedded in like 20% of all the internet traffic. That is an estimate, right? And they now want to also issue their own stablecoin, fully interoperable with this new ecosystem around this X402
makes
standard.
Sense. Like, Manuel, if you are a web native company and you see these new X402 standards and AP2 arriving, then It's completely crazy to not do that. And you, as we addressed in the last one, X402 gets rid of, I think it gets rid of all the subscription models that we have on the web these days. So actually you can be very on demand. I think it's very easy for example, in early business relationships where you don't want to have a contract under a certain limit, you don't need to know maybe who your counterparty actually is. They try out your services for the first $100 and you see, okay, Cloudflare works as desired, and then you can actually go into contracts and make this a real thing. I think this is really amazing. We get into this micropayment area we talk about for 20 years, I guess. Now, with these standards, it might become a reality in a digital native form, I guess.
Yeah, and then only yesterday, to wrap the stablecoin part up, right? Also looking at the time, this is a run very, very fast again. And this is independent of all the other projects that we are seeing at the moment emerging that we've been discussing, which is predominantly US dollar focused, right? Now, a next euro stablecoin has been announced, and this is quite interesting. 9 major European banks joined forces to issue a euro-denominated stablecoin, right? So it's ING, KBC, a Belgian bank, Danske Bank, Deka Bank, a German bank, UniCredit, SEB, Caixa Bank, Raiffeisen Bank International, and Banca Sella. They've joined forces to launch MiCA-compliant euro-denominated stablecoins. A stablecoin issued out of the Netherlands, right? So an interesting play here, regulated by the Dutch Central Bank as an e-money institution. The announcement has so far only been that there's the plan to do this, right? So they have opened up a firm, a new holdco that now applies for an e-money institution license, and a CEO is expected to be appointed in the near future. So yeah, interesting announcement. They hope to see the stablecoin go live in 2026, so next year. And what was quite interesting in the press release, that it was really included a political statement here, right? So the initiative will provide a real European alternative to the US dollar-denominated stablecoin market, contributing to Europe's strategic autonomy and payments. That was quite interesting. And all the individual banks will be able to provide value-added services, like payment services and obviously also custody. And they mentioned that it's also an open consortium so that additional banks can still join. What was also quite interesting, especially in an interview on Finextra, where one of the guys from ING that leads the project there gave an interview on the different use cases, right? So in general, I understand it to be a very open platform or an open project, which is issued on public permissionless rails, where any use case can emerge, but they really also want to focus on the payments use case. I mean, obviously these banks, I think, are interested in payments. And they mentioned supply chain automation, e-commerce, split payments, cross-border transactions, obviously, and also tokenized financial assets. But also in this interview, there was a deeper dive into trading intellectual property rights in the music industry, so music royalties, where further automation could speed up the process, increase the transparency, and also create new liquid markets for this intellectual property rights around music. So an interesting use case that they've looked at, or maybe that they want to focus on, we don't know. But yeah, definitely an interesting development here. I mean, Euro stablecoins regulated under MiCA continue to come up. Additional players are continuing to come up. And now here, 9 major banks joining forces.
What's interesting about this one is, I think combined they have 100 million users, these banks. And that's obviously a distribution channel that you can work with. They are obviously late to the game regarding all the buzz we see in the market. But at the same time, none of the existing euro stable coins has gained so much traction. Let's see how AllUnity develops over the next month. So that's maybe the biggest competitor apart from Circle. But AllUnity also has a Galaxy in there, so it's not maybe not purely European. Maybe that's the angle about that comment that you just read out. So I think it will be very interesting to watch how soon they can hit the market, and how they bring the stablecoin to life and into traction.
Stefan, we also brought some news in the digital assets and tokenized deposit space. I think we need to cut it short, right?
Yeah, we need to cut it short. Some interesting things happening over here in Europe, but the news from my perspective was NASDAQ, that they try to tokenize securities, namely all stocks on the NASDAQ. And the news is the news, but the interesting news is behind the news. So how they want to do that? Because they don't want to create new markets. They actually want to trade in the same market as is, because it's highly optimized, the trading on NASDAQ, obviously. But they want to create the opportunity to handle the stocks in a tokenized form. So you can more or less flag the stock if you want to have it in the old conventional form or in a new form. They work together with the DTCC in that regard. It's not live yet, but the plans are quite huge. And I can imagine this is a response to all the news from July and August with Robinhood and Kraken and others tokenizing at the other end of the spectrum, so which created huge discussions. So is this a stock or what is it actually what I have here? And so now if NASDAQ tokenizes stocks at the source, then all these other companies will have a little bit of a problem if it's a second class security, if you will, or not a security, not a true security, or not a true stock in the end. So yeah, a huge move. And what I find interesting is that they play it in the traditional way, that they say, okay, we are an incumbent. We have invested millions of dollars into our infrastructure. We don't want to create a completely revolutionized approach and reinvent everything on chain, but we tap into it where it's strongest. And that's the settlement side, not the trading side. That's an obvious use case that you can save costs in a huge way. So it's more an efficiency play, I would say, and exposing themselves gradually to the blockchain technology. It's not all in yet. It's rather, let's migrate the users. And once we have enough traction on the other side, maybe 1-2 years later, let's see if we do more or not. So I think it's quite a wise approach for such an incumbent to gradually go on chain and not risk too much. How do you see that, Manu?
Yeah, I look at it similarly. I mean, it also, the other news of LSE also fits into this bucket, I think, the London Stock Exchange, right? They rolled out a blockchain-based platform initially focused on private funds. So also a small use case first. I mean, small is maybe relative here, but in the broader scheme of things, what LSE provides, right? A first start. So gradually moving from traditional rails onto these new rails. And the other area there where we also saw news, right, was Börse Stuttgart and 21X. 21X, this new player trying to challenge the incumbents, completely focused on crypto. And Börse Stuttgart, who has always been this, or had this crypto angle or this blockchain angle, also now doubling down on Ceturium, which is this pan-European settlement platform for tokenized assets. So yeah, different developments on the digital asset side as well, bringing regulated securities on blockchains and allowing trading.
Yeah, Börse Stuttgart with Ceturion is a very similar approach to what NASDAQ is doing, trading as is and using the payment rails of the past and leaning into central bank money for the payment side, but also opening up for stablecoin payments, but then settling the trade on public blockchains like Ethereum. And Ceturion is the European approach now, going for the DLT pilot regime license, basing obviously on the technology of Beaks Digital, the Swiss daughter of Börse Stuttgart, who are live for 2 months, I guess. And then on the other hand, 21X going all in on chain, trading on chain with an on chain order book. You need stable coins to participate. So if you are there, then you have huge advantages, but you need to bring your clients to that stage, which is obviously exhausting, as I can tell. And it will be very interesting to see how fast you can build up that traction completely on-chain, with also money on-chain, with all the good news from the stablecoin realm we discussed for nearly an hour. So a lot of traction speaking for that. But then reality sometimes strikes back, and actually most players are still not there, especially the institutional ones, despite all the news on the stages of this world. Usually, if you look into that more closely, then it's still a month or years away to be fully comfortable to work with stable coins as a cash equivalent. A lot of discussion about that, how to handle that. Not technically, I think it's not necessarily the technical problem. It's more on the other nitty-gritty details that hold back some of the players, that this is not as easy as you might imagine.
Yeah, and then looking at the time, a very short overview also on the tokenized deposits developments. I mean, we now really double down on stablecoins, but on the tokenized deposit front, also some quite interesting developments have happened. Partior, this joint venture of JP Morgan, DBS, Standard Chartered, but also Deutsche Bank, has had some interesting announcements. They are partnering with Fintium and Adara and showcased in a proof of concept that this intraday FX platform of Fintium can be used also with the liquidity provided on the Partior network, orchestrated by the DC Commander tool from Adara. So basically three players coming together, showcasing that the liquidity issued on one platform can be used on the other platform where intraday FX swaps are orchestrated by another player that provides a seamless front-end and orchestration tool to connect the different networks. That was interesting. There is also a memorandum of understanding that was signed between Partior, SBI Bank and Decurrent. So these are two players in the tokenized deposit space in Japan. SBI Bank, one of the largest banks there. Decurrent, a player that provides the infrastructure for this DCJPY tokenized deposit infrastructure. And they want to collaborate going forward and also bring Japanese yen liquidity closer to Partior. And then last but not least, there was a first test transaction of Deutsche Bank on the Partior network. I mean, in November, Deutsche Bank has announced the investment. Then I think in May, it was announced that they are now, or signed the project agreement or product agreement for providing euro and US dollar liquidity. And now there was the first test transaction with euro, a live transaction. So quite interesting developments on this front. Partior, again, a shared ledger infrastructure providing tokenized deposits. On the other hand, there's also quite some traction on the bank-centric infrastructure of JP Morgan, which is Kinexys, because they've announced that first intraday FX transactions also took place on their platform in cooperation with Ant International. Ant has their own private blockchain infrastructure, a whale platform, and they connect it seamlessly to the Kinexys blockchain, where then FX and on-chain FX and intraday FX took place. And also Trimont, they pick now also JP Morgan's blockchain for programmability use cases. And this is obviously also one of the selling points of this blockchain infrastructure from JP Morgan, not only tokenize deposits and transfer them, but also allowing more programmability on this infrastructure. And they automized loan payments. So ultimately, they identify incoming payments and check if the amount received is sufficient and then distribute the funds to the lenders. And so quite some interesting developments on this front as well. Bank-centric infrastructure, Kinexys versus then also this shared ledger infrastructure of Partior, which combines a couple of different banks. Yeah.
We need to come to a close, I guess, Manuel. Time is running out.
It is, yeah. More than an hour already. Last piece, Knowledge Bytes. Did you find something interesting that you want to share at the end?
Yeah, I need to be short on that. But the cool thing is there's a new ERC out in the Ethereum ecosystem. It's called 8004. And you will hear more of that. It's just live for a month or so. I think 40 participants already implemented or are keen on implementing stuff on that. And that's the answer to the Google A2A thing we talked about earlier and X402. So it's the idea to create kind of a validation service for what these agents are actually doing with our money. Yeah, so You can trust Google, you can trust everybody, but actually they create mechanisms to score the behavior of an agent. So you can engage agents who watch the agents that actually spend your money, how they are actually doing that. So you have some validating logic in there and they store these ratings. They have on-chain mechanisms and smart contracts. I'm not sure where they store the thing in the end, but you have kind of an on-chain reputation system building up for your agents. So missing building block. The argument was, okay, if Google now goes in there and we trust the Google score, that might not be the way we want to have that. And there's enormous traction. And I think later this year on some Ethereum events, there will be competitions. There's huge things going on in the community that they try to be very fast creating common standards for that whole thing. So another proof point that agentic economy is here. Standards are evolving rapidly at a fast pace, and implementations are there in the first minute, I guess. So everybody is sensing some very big business opportunity here.
Yeah, and then AI and crypto or stablecoins are coming closer together, right?
Absolutely.
With stablecoin payments. Yeah, my knowledge bites or news bites were the CBDC survey of the BIS for 2024. They do it every year, right? And stablecoins also play a big role here, pressuring central banks to continue the work on wholesale and retail CBDC. But again, it shifts really to wholesale CBDC, where most projects are rather expected than in the retail CBDC area. It's an interesting read, not only what central banks do, but also why they do it. Tokenized deposits are also mentioned, so I can also highly recommend looking into that. Stefan, we all need to jump. We both need to jump to the next meeting now. Thanks a lot. There was a wild ride. So much happening.
You tried to structure it, but it didn't work.
Let's see whether
we
it works.
A bit crazy today.
Whether it works better next time. Thanks for tuning in. I hope that was still understandable, even though we tried to structure it only. Tell your colleagues and friends about the podcast if you like it. Distribute it, and hopefully see and hear you next time. Bye bye.
See you. Bye.
The views expressed are solely the personal opinions of the hosts and are provided for informational purposes only. This podcast does not offer financial or investment advice. Always conduct your own research and make well-informed decisions before investing. Please be aware that the hosts and guests may hold cryptocurrencies or digital assets discussed in this episode.